Ahaz was the king of Judah at this time. He was a very evil king, to say the least. And folks, if you've even looked at your scripture, you'll see this as supposedly we would say a Christmas message. It's not, and don't worry, I'm going to shorten it about half of what we were going to say. We couldn't, nothing we could do about a fire alarm emergency. But I want to someday go back into all the history with you and share with you just the story of Ahaz and what led up to this point. But just suffice it to say for us where we are, here was the king, and here was God. Isaiah himself was the prophet of hope. Remember, he was God's spokesperson of hope. And the problem is, though, for Ahaz, there was a nation just northeast of him. The name of that nation was Assyria. The Bible even says that Ahaz's trust was in Assyria, or better known as Ashur. And Assyria would one day destroy Judah. At about 65 years in the future of where we are. But all of a sudden what happened was that God said, I would give Ahaz a sign that he would know. Ahaz basically said, I really don't want your sign, God. And then finally leading up, he said, well, Ahaz may not want the sign, but I'm going to give it to him and let you see it. But Ahaz, it's really not for you. It's for the people that you are oppressing, my people. And I want them to know that hope is here. And that little word hope in the New Testament we pronounce is elpis, E-L-P-I-S. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And it translates that word throughout the entire New Old Testament, elpis, as hope. But hope, ladies and gentlemen, wasn't something that was a prediction. I hope it will rain. I hope the sun will shine. I hope I can go to the beach next week. I hope. No, the hope of elpis was a fact. In other words, if God said it, didn't matter whether you believed it or not, that settled it. That's hope. That's elpis. So the idea of a hope being a prediction was foreign to the Old and the New Testament. And here is a world, here is Judah, that is just in absolute turmoil. People have turned their back on God. They are following false idols. It has become a polytheistic faith. People believed in many gods. People were in a mess. There was all kind of crime. Everything was taking place. And the world, they just going down day by day by day by day. But in the midst of all that were genuine children of God. Folks, they needed to hear hope. Does that sound familiar to them? You know, in a world that's just in a mess, in a world that's turned their back on God, in a world that's just blinded to what God says, I send you hope. And that's what he was doing to the people of Judah if they would return to him. And that's where we see the context of the first scripture this morning. And so this morning, the title, yes, Hope is Born, but I just simply want to share with you two verses and what those two verses mean. So I want you to go over to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. James is going to help me this morning. So many of you said, Randy, I love it when you simply just get down to teaching. Well, I don't have a lot of time this morning. I got about 10 minutes to do about 30, and I'm going to back it up and do it, but there's some things I want you to see about these verses that I hope in the next 10 minutes before we leave, or maybe 12 if you'll give me that, I can show you what it says. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. In other words, Ahaz, you don't have to worry about this one. God's going to give it to you whether you like it or not. And he says, the virgin. And let me tell you something about the word virgin. This is the word Alma, A-L-M-A. It means exactly what it says, a young lady of marriageable age, around 12 or 13. Now, there is another word used of virgin, Bathula in the Greek. That is the more general word, and it's used about 60 times, Bathula in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, excuse me, and it's used about 60 times. It was always used of a general virgin. But whenever the Hebrew word Alma was used, it is used specifically of the mother of God. Wow. So here's Isaiah. We're in the 8th century B.C. now. And here is the prophecy coming. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The Alma, A-L-M-A, the specific virgin, the mother of God, the specific little child, the 13-year-old, will conceive and have a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. Wow. Can you imagine of what that said to those folks who were in turmoil, who were just absolutely blown away? They didn't know what was taking place or what would happen. So in that top line of the outline, I want you to write this word up there. We're going to put it up here for you as well so you see it. James hit that, it should say. And in the next, I want to show you two Hebrew words here. One Hebrew and one Greek. Whenever you see Emmanuel spelled with an I, it's just simply the Hebrew. Now, I don't want to blow you away. Hebrew's read from right to left. And that little word, I should have put a little dot right there underneath there, and I didn't. It's called a hirik. And that gives us the I sound. Here is Emmanuel in the Greek. And notice, you can at least see that's the epsilon in the Greek, the E. So whenever it's spelled in the New Testament, you'll see the word E. Most of the time in the Old Testament, you will see the word I. There's no difference. It's the same word. But this word is one incredible word, and I want to show you something about it that you cannot see in the English that I hope will just blow you away in the name Emmanuel. So this specific virgin of God is going to conceive a son, and the son's name, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which means what, y'all? God with us. Well, let me show you something about that. James, let's go to that next slide as well. The word Emmanuel is made up of three Hebrew words. Now, don't panic. This is the word Am, A-M. That's these little dots you see in Hebrew whenever you read it or look at it and you think what's going on. Those are the vowels. Hebrew is in the language of consonants. And in Hebrew, you always try to get back to the verb, the main verb. The verb is always three letters in the Hebrew. But these three words, Am, Im, and El, is what makes up the word Emmanuel. And folks, Randy, why are you showing us this? I want you to see this. Stuff like this will blow you away. The word Am, that's in the Hebrew, means the word people. James put that up there. God's specific people. Again, there was other words used of people in the Hebrew. But whenever the word Am is used like this, spelled like this in Hebrew, it refers to the people of God. Emmanuel is coming to the people of God. Emmanuel is coming to bring hope in the midst of a war-torn society and a society that's turned its back on God. And now the only difference in the spelling, don't worry about seeing what letters those are at this point, just notice the difference in the vowel. That little dot in the Hebrew we call a hirik, H-I-R-E-K, okay? And that means an I sound, so it's pronounced M. And the translation of that word is simply with. Now, there are other words used of with, but this word is only used of in this respect of a relationship with who? God himself. So here you have Emmanuel, made up that, the word people, God's people. And now you have part of this word that's made up of M, which simply people with a relationship, a specific relationship with God. And who would like to guess what the third word would be? El is the word, or some people pronounce L-E-L, is the word simply for, we'll put that one up there, God. And right there, I want you to put the Hebrew up here as well. There you go. This is the word Elohim. Reshith bara Elohim va'eith hashemayim va'eith ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See this word right here? It's God. It's Yahweh. It's Elohim. It's the God of this universe. So in that word Emmanuel, the word itself means the people, God's is with his people, but this intentional special relationship that holds on, it means an intensive family relationship. It's a relationship like a father to a son. Most of you know my son Michael and my daughter Bethany. When they're here, you'll see me hugging them and whatever. My son, often in that police uniform, one thing he does to his dad, he comes up to him and gives me a big old hug, and I hug him, and he's not ashamed of hugging his old father in the midst of that and who he is. That's this word right here. That's this relationship. The word Emmanuel here means God's people. God is surrounding his people. In essence, it's more than just simply God is with us. God has been sent specifically to hold you tightly. Have you ever felt alone? You ever felt just the point that even though you're around 100 people or 25 or 30 people in a school classroom, yet you feel completely alone? Always go back to this word right here. God says, I am sending Emmanuel to wrap his arms tightly around you. And then let me show you one thing before we close this morning. It's the rest of that. Most of you know, what are the characteristics of Emmanuel? It's found in our next verse, Isaiah 9, verse 6. For the child will be born, a son will be given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And here's his characteristics, his names, his titles, who he is. Will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and the Prince of Peace. Let me just mention this morning. Wonderful Counselor. And you look in the Hebrew, this is the word wonderful, that's the word counselor. The word wonderful modifies the word counselor. Wonderful simply means perfect, something beyond anything you and I could ever think, ever imagine, or ever want to try to imagine. It is God come down to man. These people in Judah needed some hope. They needed to hear. And Isaiah, God's spokesman of hope, says, God's going to give you the sign this time, and it's going to be a specific sign, and that sign is going to be Emmanuel will come. And even he went as far as to say, is come. He put the Hebrew in the present tense, and he said the first thing that's going to happen is he's going to be called the Wonderful Counselor. Now, at the end of these right quick, I just want to write a word that refers to that. Miraculous Mentor. God is our miraculous mentor. Matthew's having the privilege of mentoring Austin Williams. You'll hear more about that in just a minute before we leave. But a miraculous mentor is the perfect mentor. It's the wonderful. It's the one that beyond anything we could even understand, he is the mentor that's there going to stay with you, our counselor. And that's what that word counselor meant. So he's Wonderful Counselor. What's the second one, folks, for your outline? Wonderful Counselor. What's the next one? Mighty God. Remember the word for God? There it is. It's set there. Mighty God. The word mighty, the actual translation, if we translate it in Hebrew, it's El Gibor. But it means the warrior, the soldier, the one that's there for battle, the one that's going to be there. I thought about that this morning when these firemen came in here in all their garb and whatever. They were set up for battle. They had everything on them they needed, their oxygen, their mask, their axe, anything else of equipment they needed, and that on the truck. They were ready to battle a fire if we had had a fire in this church. And God says that word mighty there is the soldier. It's the judgment. It's the power of God. It's the power of God that when you touch the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God, you died. You can't touch. Sinful man can never touch holy God. The only way that ever would happen is how? Through Jesus, who came to die for us. So I put a word up here that refers to mighty God. Omnipotent Yahweh. Y-A-H-W-E-H. I could have put that in the Hebrew. I put it in English. We call this the Tetragrammaton, simply a big word that means four consonants. Anytime in the Old Testament when you see the words Lord God, this is how it's translated. This is the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. We translate this word I am. It is the name of God, Yahweh. And so when I say mighty God, he is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is the soldier. And then what's the third one, folks? Found in Isaiah. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Eternal Father. Wow. It's made up of little one word, should we say. But eternal Father, the word eternal is exactly what it is. It's a word in the Hebrew that's part of this. And actually, it's this word right here that means going on and on and on and never ending. But folks, do you remember Abba in the New Testament? Daddy? There it is in the Hebrew. The relationship that God says he's going to have with us, that the Emmanuel is going to have with us, he's going to be eternal. It's ever. Before birth, after death, never ending, and he's going to be the daddy of all daddies. So many people in this world don't have a father, an earthly father. But I'm going to stand here and tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ, you've got a dad in heaven that's taking care of you. That's what all this wrapped up in this one word. He will be eternal Father. I call him forever dad. Forever dad. He is that type of an intimate relationship with you. And what's the fourth one, folks? He's the Prince of Peace. Let me show you that one. Now, this word right here is S-A-R, Prince. If we had an A, that's the male form of this. That's why it's Prince. If we had an A or an I sound on the end of it, we get the word Sarah. How many of you know someone named Sarah? Do you? That's princess in Hebrew. And this is where it comes from. The prince, you'll know this word here. That's an S-H-A-L-O-M in Hebrew, and you pronounce that how? Shalom. He is the Prince of Shalom. He is the Prince of Peace. The word peace here doesn't simply mean earthly peace from the standpoint of without war. The word shalom here means a peace that passes all understanding that you and I can't even attempt to understand. It is a word beyond anything we can ever, ever, ever imagine. It is peace in the midst of the storm. It is peace no matter what. If the world is falling apart around you and everything is going haywire, God says, I'm sending Emmanuel, who is the Prince of Peace. And I put the final word up here that I just wrote. I called him the Royal Peacemaker because he is. He's a royal, royal peacemaker. Now, what I want you to see out of all this, simply this. Out of that one word, Emmanuel, and those four characteristics of Emmanuel, God has put the gospel right there for us. Without a doubt. If you wrote that outline down, you can read it. He is Emmanuel, who he is, but he is Wonderful Counselor. He is El Gabor, Mighty God. He is Eternal Father, and he is the Prince of Shalom. I don't know about you, folks. But I needed to read this, and I need to hear this all week. In the last few weeks, I've been working on this message. This world's a mess. We know that. But thank God he sent Emmanuel. God is holding tight to his people. Won't let you go. So this week, when you look, turn the news on and you find out who shot who, and you hear of this one, and you hear of this crime, and you hear of this crime, and all of a sudden you just start getting depressed. Lord, what is this world coming to? What is happening to our economy? What's going on? And you just want to almost feel like if I could go hide in a hole somewhere, I'd feel much better. When you get to that point, on your lips, you simply say, Emmanuel. And when you say that one word, you have said everything and more that I've tried to say, oops, in 14 and a half minutes. Wow, folks. Such incredible words. You see why Isaiah is God's spokesperson of hope. With a society that was just being destroyed. And folks, as it says, you look in the history, in Israel's history, in Judah's history, 65 years later, Judah would be wiped out. Why? Because they did not repent. God's will be done. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for men like Isaiah. Father, I envy such a relationship with you that knew your heart so strong that no matter what, Lord, no matter what, they would follow you. And I thank you, Lord, that we have this record of Isaiah as your word to us today. And I believe you've taken that word, Emmanuel, this morning, and in these few brief minutes have shown us these words of just what that word means, far beyond the English speaking of the word. what it means to all of us in this house. Now, Lord, despite our world situation, despite our personal situation, despite anything going on around us, we can walk out of here in a few minutes knowing Emmanuel is in control, the sovereign God of this universe. I love you, Father. I love these people. And I pray this in the very name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Will you stand to your feet with you? Daniel, come, my brother, as well. He's going to be down here with me. And whatever's on your heart, perhaps you need to come and join Olive Springs, perhaps a time of prayer, whatever God is doing with you, Daniel and I will be down here. I want you to come, folks, as we close out right now this time of worship. Let's sing that chorus,
Lead
Doug.
Me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord.